direction do you want to go in this morning? The well-prepared one or the less well-prepared one, Lord? But I know, Lord, that you're sovereign. If we're going to trust you with the election, if we're going to trust you with our lives, if we're going to trust you with every part of our lives, Lord, then I got to trust you with your decision. All right, you can hang on to that. That'll be when I get back. Pam, I think I've got the scriptures there for you as much as I know for right now. I may call it on you to be spontaneous too, so. Father, we ask right now that your anointing be upon this message, that Father, as we have a call to grow in faith, it's not just about having faith. We've been all been given a measure of faith. It's what we do with that faith that you've given us, Lord. It's the process of sanctification, of growing in our faith so that we can be more effective for you, because it says without faith, it's impossible to please you.
Yes.
And the more we have it, the more we please you. And I want to please you more, God. I want to rise up in these times in which we live, and I want to represent you well. And I pray that you will transfer that to everyone who is in the sound of my voice today as you speak to us in regards to our faith. In Jesus' name. If we're going to be called, and we've all been given a measure of faith by God, because, well, you know, if God hadn't given us a little measure of faith, you could never be saved. If we were just strictly born into sin under Satan's dominion and all that stuff, and there was nothing there for God to work with, then we'd be lost. So he gives us that void. He gives us that starting point. He gives us that choice that he gave Adam to say, you know what, here, I offer you life, and then you're living in death. Choose this day. So we're all given that measure of faith, but he never intends us to stand in the midst of spiritual milk all of our lives.
That's right.
He never intends us to take the faith that we need for salvation and just stand there and not move and not do warfare and not do what Jesus did when he was on this earth with the faith that he had through the Holy Spirit. So, an increased level of faith involves moving beyond spiritual mediocrity.
Amen.
Yes.
Think about it. God's not looking for mediocre faith any more than he's looking for people who are lukewarm.
That's right.
He'd rather you be cold. Red hot, but not mediocre. Not trying to get by with the little bit of faith that you've been operating with since you began your walk with God. Growth and sanctification and the whole New Testament is centered around the fact that we got to get off the elemental things and move on to more important things, because he's got an army he's raising up, and it's going to take a greater level of faith in the times in which we live to take back what the enemy's stolen and do the work of the ministry. We learn from Abraham that growing in faith begins by positioning ourselves first to hear from God.
Yes.
So that we have the opportunity to obey his will. You can't obey until you first hear.
Right.
So I want to keep it very simple today. Abraham tells us to grow in faith, you got to first be able to have an ear for God. Romans 10:17, Pam. This will then give us the opportunity to make a choice of whether we're going to grow or not, when we hear from him. So faith comes from
hearing.
Where do we grow in faith? How can we grow in faith? We got to hear from God. And hearing, how do we hear? God's word. It can come to you through the Logos. It can come to you through music. It can come to you through the Holy Spirit speaking to you one-on-one. It can come to you through a donkey speaking who normally doesn't speak. Faith comes by hearing God's word. The word for hearing that was used in this particular scripture is called rhema, which is our understanding of God's word by means of the Holy Spirit. Not by means of seminary teaching, not by means of your own personal self-study. Rhema is the Holy Spirit that lives within you when you accept Christ, bringing light and life and understanding and knowledge and wisdom to his word. You want to grow in faith? You get more into his word. Once we position ourselves to actually hear from God, again, like I just said, whether it be through prayer, reading your Bible, worship, or whatever, you got to be willing to leave your comfort zone. You got to trust God to lead you where He wants you to be. That's what faith is. Coming around the mountain, not knowing what's around the other side of the mountain, giants, whatever. God said, go, I'm just simply going to show up. Not being sure of what I'm going to find on the other side. It doesn't matter. God is with me, so who can be against me? There could be armies on the other side, but it doesn't matter. If I've got God, He can scatter those armies. It's being willing to leave your comfort zone when you hear from God. Because I guarantee you, if you've really truly heard from God, He will more than likely, not all the time, but generally take you out of your comfort zone, your mediocrity, the place where you've been and your own understanding, and take you to a whole new realm.
Right.
Where He wants you to be. Genesis 12, 1 and 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country. Everything that's familiar to you, your entire place where you worked, maybe he was a whatever. Quit your job. Leave your family. Yes, all those personal close relationships where you get your strength from. Take everything. Leave everything and go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I'm going to show you. He didn't even tell him where he was going. Leave and I'll show you where you're going. Did he leave by himself? No, he did take some of his family. We're always praising Abraham making all the right decisions all the time. And let me tell you something, we're all human. He took some of his family.
That's right.
And he was told to leave his family. Just a word of encouragement for those of us that sometimes stumble with what we hear. Verse 4. So Abraham did what? He heard God. But then here's the critical point of what makes or breaks your faith. He'd heard what He'd spoken to him, right? And he went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now he was 75 old when he departed from Haran. 75 years old. He decided to take a journey away from his family, away from familiarity, not knowing where he was going, trusting on what he heard. Because what he saw wasn't friendly. What he saw wasn't comfortable. What he saw was God's word, and he kept it in front of his eyes. So we can either choose to move towards God in our own choices when we hear, or away from God. But I'll tell you right now that God does not bless the wandering disobedient. When you hear and have to make that choice, it is your choice. But I'm here to tell you, should you choose to wander and be disobedient and not obey the voice of God, even when things look intimidating and don't make sense, you choose that route, He's not going to bless you. In order to grow, now here we are, we're talking about that today. In order to grow in faith, it involves making right choices. Yes, first you have to hear. Option A, and then you can come up with all the other options. God gives you option A. Then you can make all the excuses you want to go to B, C, D, E, F, G, or A. But if you're going to grow in faith, there's only one option: to obey the word of God spoken to you. Choices can make or break you. We must choose, here you go, to separate our lives from worldliness and be ready to be used by God His way. You got to be ready for when the voice comes to separate you from that which you've idolized, from that which you have built in your life. I mean, I had gone 7 years to school and was at the epitome of my profession, and I was getting ready to just, you know, reap the benefits from all the hard work I'd put into setting up my life. And you know, he said, leave completely and go to an area where you're unfamiliar, but I'll be with you.
Amen.
And I will bring you into the land of promise. And I will make sense of your life, and I will make something of you, and I will lead you. It won't be easy. But do you believe? Do you have enough faith where you are in your mediocre state right now to risk the mediocre faith that you have by stepping out and going to grow. Because the only place you're going to grow is in that land of the unfamiliar. Because if it's not unfamiliar to you and you're already there, then you've already got what you're going to get. Leave worldliness. Be ready to be used. This often takes time, so you can't give up. God is also a God of second chances, especially after we've made some bad choices. Praise God. Just because you've made a particular wrong choice. Abraham started right out taking family with him. And then he lied about his wife being his sister. Actually, she was his sister, but he was scared. He always wasn't making all the best choices, but let me tell you, I told you last week, even when you're making bad choices, it's obedience that releases the blessing.
Amen.
He's not measuring you on your own abilities.
Thank God.
He's measuring you on your faithfulness. Because as you grow in faith and you obey, even though you don't understand, even though you make poor choices, God will still bless you in that obedience. That's important. That's huge. Because we do make poor choices sometimes. And we do, when we hear God, not always make the best decisions. But ultimately, if we obey God and what He's asked us to ultimately do, He will indeed bless us because He's a God of second chances. But when we choose rightly, you can bet that your faithful obedience will be rewarded. But here's where the rest of this sermon is going. Listen carefully. And I'm going to say it again. When we choose rightly, you can bet that your faithful obedience will be rewarded, but it will also be tested. And that's what Bert brought up today. It will be tested. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. That's big. A faith that cannot be tested, unwilling to be tested, cannot be trusted. Our faith, listen now, is going to be tested in regards to God's personhood. I'm going to give you areas where you're going to be tested, and you can bank on it. Our faith will be tested in regards to God's personhood, how well we know who He really is.
Yep, there it is, right there.
This is number one. Mediocre faith, the measure of faith that it takes, and we talked about that last week, that God actually gives us for salvation. The Word will spark you. The Word will bring truth to you. You will have to make a choice on whether you want to choose God or choose your own way. The faith that you need to choose God, God's already given you for it. Whether you step out in obedience or not is whether you get saved or not. Do you understand that? God gives you the faith to be saved, but He doesn't force you to make the decision to get saved. Once He gives you that, He then tells you to grow it. How does He grow it? Same way He gave it to you. Through His Word. Through the Holy Spirit. Through song. Through fellowship. Through acts of obedience. God can speak to us. And when He speaks to us and we see the response of how He rewards those who are obedient, our faith grows. We don't doubt. Why would you doubt when you know God always comes through? He's not a man that He should lie. He's faithful. He's always faithful. Our faith will be tested in regards to who He really is. And if when you read this, you don't believe who He really is and says He is, your faith will diminish and you will doubt. Our faith will be tested in regards to our obedience to His Word. True faith, when it's tested, will require you to do something. I believe, then step out onto the ocean. I believe, well, then step onto that high wire. I believe, well, then step out in your purchase. I believe will then step out in your witness. Obedience will be tested to His Word. We will be tested in regards to trusting in His provision. I'm naming all the areas where I can guarantee you God developing your character, developing your nature, increasing your most holy faith will come from knowing who He really is, from stepping out in obedience to His Word, and trusting in His provision. Do you really believe that, you know, you lose your job or, you know, your finances take a hit or whatever, that God isn't going to take care of you as much as He takes care of the sparrow? Can God really provide for you even when it looks like all hell is broken out against you and circumstances look bleak? He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Is he true? That's about his character. Do we believe or do we don't believe? We will be tested in our awareness of his sovereignty. That means control of all things, such as the election, such as the things in your life where your finances are involved, or where your kids, where you're hoping that your kids are going to have godly wives and godly children, or and vice versa if they're girls and getting them guys. Do you believe in God's sovereignty, where he's sovereign over all things, that even when we make poor choices, he'll put us right back on a path where we'll get to the right choice? What do you believe about God and his sovereignty, of him stepping into your life? Our faith will be tested in regards to acknowledging and operating in his power. You can bet that you're going to be called on when nobody else is there and pastor's not there and no one else is there. You're going to be called to pray for somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you're it.
That's right.
God's chosen you. And you're going to have to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. Not your pastor, not your person with the gift of healing.
That's right.
What do you believe about his power? God's testing you. He's going to provide opportunities where you make the immediate phone call, or you say, I don't need to make that phone call. I'm going to do this myself. Because the Word says I can.
Yep.
Your faith will be tested in regards to your acknowledging and operating in his power. How many of churches today don't even believe that they have the power to make a change in someone's health?
Right.
Their faith is low. And that's why let not that man receive that he's going to receive anything. Doubting, like the waves of the sea. Of course he's not going to get his miracle. He didn't even believe in him.
Right.
We will be tested in regards to trusting in his promises. Think about it. If God has promised in his word to do something, if normally it's preceded by, if you do this, then I'll do this.
Right.
But if you do what he says for you to do, and it's in his word, do you trust that his promises are yea and amen? Or that it maybe it's not for you. Or maybe it's just not the time or the season. God doesn't operate like that. He's true to his word all the time. There's no season for being truth. So what are we saying here? Trusting in his personhood, his philosophy, his provision, his providence, his power, and his promises will build your most holy faith. You're just going to have to take each of those areas and begin stepping out in obedience, whether you see it or not, whether you feel it or not.
That's right.
Whether the symptoms are crying and screaming at you that it's the opposite of what it seems to be. If you want to leave mediocre faith and relying on everybody else's faith and you want to grow in faith, you will be tested in all those areas, and you simply have to take that step of obedience and watch God work.
Yeah.
Failure to fight a crisis with faith can crucify success in your life.
Amen.
Failure to fight a crisis with faith can crucify any success you may have in life. We must walk confidently in God's truth, or we will face difficult circumstances in this world. More difficult. There's difficult stuff going to come our way. But it becomes more difficult when we don't meet it in faith.
Yep.
Your situation won't change by whining and griping and complaining.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But it can change by speaking forth the truth of God's word over your situation.
Yes,
and believing for it and standing on it. And when you can't stand, stand. That's how you grow. I remember Ryan when he was growing up and he was complaining about his ankles. And, oh man, they hurt so bad. What's wrong? Remember that? And what was our answer to you? You're growing. It's painful to grow. Things have to get stretched. Things have to be expanded in your life. You have to have a bigger picture. You got to look at the end result. You got to see the goal and you got to go after it and not move to the left or the right. You got to stay on the path. The further away you get off the path, the longer it takes to reach your goal. We build our most holy faith. When Abraham separated himself from the pursuit of the things of this world, think about this. When Abraham separated himself from the pursuit of the things of this world, anticipating a better one to come, he was blessed for his faithfulness. He didn't see it. All he heard was God's voice. He didn't know really where it was coming from. He didn't know the location of heaven, where there was a heaven or anything like that. He just knew the sound of the Father and what he was telling him to do. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. He had to hear. He was called. The first thing that comes, we said, was hearing. The second thing comes from whether you are all in or not. Obey. Whether you're getting a little bit weary or doubtful like Abraham did at times or not, it doesn't matter. Still obey. Because obedience will release that blessing even when you're a little doubtful sometimes. Because what you're saying is, I'm trading in my doubt for trusting that God, you're going to show up or I'm going down. And that then becomes faith. By faith, Abram, when he was called, obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a what? An alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same, fellow heirs of the same promise. He's living in a tent, not knowing where he's going, wondering whether there's going to be another famine, wondering if Abimelech's going to kill his wife. Would you head into all those circumstances when you had wealth and family and mediocrity and a comfort zone back in Haran? That's where family is. I need their support. I can justify staying here. Why would I go out on a limb and go to a place I don't even know about, live in tents and have all this adversity and people coming against me and I'm having a fight and I'm having to do all that? Why? The only reason he did is because God told him. He heard God and he obeyed. For he was looking, why? He was looking for this city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He knew that this life is temporary. No matter where you dwell and no matter what you build and what kingdom you're a part of and stuff like that, our hope is in our eternal future. We have a city in heaven. We have a kingdom in heaven that wants to express itself down here on this earth if we will have the faith to believe that, number one, it's there, to read all about its qualities and exemplify those qualities while we're standing in this dirt. Abraham knew that spiritual growth required faith and effort. Listen. Spiritual growth required faith and obedience, faith and effort. He had to be prepared in life. We can't just say, oh, I got faith and I'm just going to go merry along and not be prepared. Listen to me. He had to learn to fight both spiritually and naturally. We can't have our feet in the clouds and stuff like that while our feet are still down here on the earth. And there are things that are going to take what God has given us in our physical bodies, because we're spirit, soul, and body, and completely neglect our bodies and do anything we want and just say, oh, well, God's just going to show up and I don't have to do anything to prepare. He'll show up, but he wants you armed and dangerous.
That's right.
Prepared. Abraham was successful because he fought with those that he trusted. Whoa. They were well-trained men. Listen, Abraham trusted God, but he also prepared in the natural with well-trained men that with the Spirit of God all over them and the skills that they had, the best that they had, he knew he could go out and kick butt. He didn't just say, well, God, you brought me out here in the wilderness. You'll just attack my enemies. I won't have to train up my men. We'll just show up and the Hittites will just go boop. Well, if God told him that the Hittites would just go boop, they would have. But he didn't. He, when you're not hearing from God to do otherwise, you need to be obedient to what he's called us to do. And he says, prepare. Prepare for battle. How do you do that spiritually? Know who you are in Christ, the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. That means walk in the very truth that you're learning and hearing about. Put that belt of truth on, knowing that God's true to his word, regardless of what circumstances you may be. Put on peace even when there's all these frightening things that are around you. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, and start going out and using it offensively to come against and take back what the enemy's stolen in your life, because he's created doubt before and you've made mistakes before. But thank God for Jesus Christ and redemption and repentance that we have a do-over and we can go back out and take the same sword and slay the dragon. Even when the first time you used it, you missed. Abraham was successful because he fought with those that he trusted. They were well-trained men. They were equipped. So what do I say about that for the church? We too, in order to grow together, must train together, must be unified and well-prepared. We have to, as we said at the beginning of the service, come together. Train together in God's word. Uphold each other in prophetic word. Begin to come together in unity. Begin to stand with each other and uphold each other's arms. One at a time, we're not going to go out there and defeat the enemy. God has planned for a people for his name, a nation for his name, a church to rally and go forth and become victorious together, not apart. He's not into individual heroes. He's into a people called according to his name. We have to train together and be well prepared together. That's why I pray you come to this church, so that you hear the word of God not watered down, so that you're called to accountability, so that you're called to exercise and get up and encourage people, that you're called to come up here and play your instrument if that's what you're called to do, that you're called to go and make a phone call during the week and show up and go in the middle of the night and pray over people who have a need, that you're called, that you're called, that you're called, that you respond. You're an active faith. You're not a passive faith. You're not a Sunday morning individual. People that come in on Sunday morning, shake your hand, how you doing? I'm doing great. Right. Bye, you're gone. You're to prepare. You're to grow. You're to unify. We must see each new day as an opportunity to serve God, no matter where you are. Be willing to move from the land of comfort and mediocrity. Get up from your desk and go out and go to Starbucks and witness to that person God's telling you to witness to. It's uncomfortable, but it's what he's asking you to do. Understand that following many victories will come low points. Don't have unrealistic expectations. Of course there's going to be low points. Of course there's going to be those things that we just talked about, where you will be tested. But ultimately, we win.
Yes.
But the struggles we go through enable... Listen... The struggles we go through, they enable God to refashion us into his likeness. It's because of the adversity. It's because of the resistance that we build spiritual muscle. We learn how to fight better when we have seen how the enemy operates and where he makes his progress and where he doesn't. If it works in the natural that way, why do we expect anything different? That we just have this big bubble that we walk around in and we're not going to be touched. It was when we were growing and we were maturing that God said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? How about that David? They were tested. How many of you wouldn't be tested if David's standing out there when he should have been out to war and there is a neighbor and his wife standing out there, no clothes on, bathing out there. He has this lust and desire. He has to make a decision at that point. Will he trust God's word for his life or will he go after his own lust and desires? We know the choice that he made and the consequences that came because of it. I'm going to close with five principles that will help us to increase our faith and to walk by the Spirit. Five things that are going to help us to increase our faith. We're talking about growing our faith and to walk by the Spirit, because that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. Not by your soulish tendencies, not by your thoughts and your abilities. Number one, pursue spiritual disciplines and avoid temptations of the flesh. I'm going to keep it short and simple. Number one, pursue spiritual disciplines. What do I mean by that? You want to hear from God, you better go where he's speaking. In his word, in music, to a fellow Christian's house, in music, you know, right? Expose yourself to where he's speaking. Pursue spiritual discipline. Paul said, I have to buffet my body. My body wants to be over here enjoying the next television show and the next series on, you know, Let's Make a Deal. But my spirit man's calling me to God's word to pray for somebody who's in dire need right now because they're suffering over in the next house next door and they need somebody who's going to pray for them. Pursue spiritual disciplines. Avoid temptations of the flesh. In other words, move towards God, not away. Number two, we must be good at spiritual warfare. How are you going to do that? Take some of the discipleship classes we're about to give. Read God's word. Know where the weapons of your warfare are. We went through a whole series on spiritual warfare. You guys should be the most well-equipped guys in this whole town.
Amen.
But just like Abram had to be well-prepared in the natural and spiritually, so do you. Number three, there are times when we are weak and need spiritual reinforcement from the brethren. Do not become an easy target for Satan or spiritually sick by avoiding the gifts of God that exist in the family. When we're down and we're out and we're really sick and stuff like that, we have a tendency to stay away from church. That's when you need to run. I would rather have a multitude of counselors, spiritual giftings at work to pray over me and see visions and talk to God on me and expose sin and do all the things necessary to help bring forth my healing than to just sit at home in bed not doing anything, letting Satan run all over me. There's times when you are weak, and we're all weak, and I've been there. And you just got to have somebody else praying for you. You got to have somebody else lifting up your arms. You got to have somebody else just reading the word, put the CD on, and sing yourself to sleep. There's times when you're just tired and you need help. You want to increase your faith? Pursue spiritual disciplines. Be good at spiritual warfare. Call on somebody when you're weak. Number four, we must remain loyal to God and base all of our decisions upon that loyalty. Whew. I've said it like this. Do what's right regardless of the cost. And it may cost you a lot. It may cost you relationships. It may cost you money. It may cost you your home, your car. Do what's right regardless of the cost. I told Teresa the other day, we can have the biggest house. We can have the most cars. We can have all these pleasures in our life and stuff like that. You won't enjoy one moment without peace in your heart.
Amen.
If you're not right with God and you don't have a peace in your heart and you are just not there enjoying your health and strength and everything that God has given you, it doesn't matter what else comes your way that might the world might say, hey, this is the blessing. Big house doesn't mean squat when you're sick. Nice car doesn't mean squat when you're sick, right? Doing all these other things that we do doesn't mean diddly-doop. If we're struggling and we have fear and doubt and unbelief ruling in our hearts, we need peace, we need joy, we need righteousness, we need faith, we need to be together, we need to hold each other up. And when we begin to drift outside that area is when we got to come together more than ever. There's a call right now, I believe, God, to unity and for the church and to get past religiosity in normal church services where we're going to just spend some time in this church service doing what we did this morning. Just coming together when we never see each other and hold each other up and uplift each other and encourage each other. What's going on in your life? How can I pray for you? And if you don't do it here on Sunday, call them up there in a week to do that. Everybody's going to have their own little circles, but let's get everybody covered. And if you're alone, don't just sit out there and say, oh, I'm all alone and then nobody's calling me. Tell me, tell somebody, and get covered. Don't let the enemy tell you that nobody cares. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got family things and all these other things to do. They're not trying to overlook you. It's just that, you know what, we all struggle with certain things, and when it can't be everywhere at once. Number five, last, we must come to realize that there's nothing more valuable in this world than to train up our soul in the way it should go by yielding to and being led by God's Holy Spirit. There is nothing more valuable in this world, no matter what you can obtain, than to train up your soul to get that mind transformed in the way that it should go by yielding to that Holy Spirit that God has placed within your spirit. Whatever it takes. So I wind up today saying this. Build up our most holy faith and success in the Christian life is trusting that God is part of our solution, not the problem. Don't run away from God, run towards God. Abraham was not perfect, but he was obedient. So even when you're doubting, allow the God to bless you out of your steps of obedience. Amen. This is how we grow. I close with Revelation 3, verses 7 to 13. Everybody stand. The words of John, the beloved apostle, whom Jesus loved. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, some would translate that as the pastors of the churches, as John was writing cryptically so that the Romans wouldn't persecute him. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David. And what was David's key? A man after God's own heart. Who opens and no one will be able to shut when you have a heart for God, and who shuts and no one opens, says this. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut. And I would add, no demon in hell can shut. Because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those who serve Satan, in other words, who are in the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews, who may call themselves Christians even, and they're not, but they're lying, will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, obedience releasing blessing, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. And boy, are we ever there. I am coming quickly. So what does he say to us? Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, he who makes the choice of obedience to follow God by increasing his measure of faith, I will make him a pillar in my temple, the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. You know his character and his nature. He says, he who has an ear. What did we say the first step in growing your faith was? Hearing. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Love and obey. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the truth that sets us free. Pam?